Sebastian, everyone. My name is Dario Abel Olivia, and I'd like to show you Forever at a Pieces starting very soon. And now start renting your seats for Saturday services.
Sebastian, everyone. My name is Daughter of Visual Able Nora Hawkins. I want to serve you as priestess starting very soon. It's an honor and privilege to introduce the sons and daughters of Visual Able now entering the sanctuary.
Welcome to another woman's presentation. Today's theme is improve your lives and qualify. This is it, the end. So sit upright and listen intelligently as we are taught in righteousness. Please stand as I present the first speaker, Lily Hawk.
Shalom, everyone. You may be seated. The title of my speech is How to Improve Yourself. Today I'm going to share with you some ways I improve myself. One way I improve myself is by listening to instructions. Not to stop somebody in the middle of speaking and to start talking, but to listen to instructions. And when they're done, I say thank you for pointing that out to me. Another way I improve myself is by using my self-control. When someone tells me something that makes me mad, I stop and I count to 10. Just like this. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Another way I improve myself is by not rolling my eyes or by having an attitude, but to listen attentively to what I am told. Another way I improve myself is by helping at home. When I am done, I say, "What more can I do to help you?" And I also like to say please and thank you. I encourage you to always hold on like a bulldog and always work with a smile. And with this, I'll turn it over to the next speaker.
Shabbat Shalom, everyone. Please be seated. The title of my speech is Wait No Longer, the Time Is Now. Sisters, if you were to search your heart right now, would you be ready for Yeshua's return? Would you be ready like the five wise virgins? Or would you be lacking? As you know, the theme today is Improve Your Lives and Qualify. This is it, the end. The word improve means to make or become better, develop or increase in mental capacity by education or experience. So how do we improve ourselves before it's too late? Father Yahweh gives us his 613 laws and holy scriptures guide us on how to make changes in our lives, so that we can become living sacrifices before him. Please turn to page 938 in 2 Timothy 2:15. Study to show yourself approved to Yahweh, a workman who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of the truth, the law, and the prophets. Isaiah 34:16 says to search out the book of Yahweh and read. But Pastor Israel Hawkins says to read, to study. But Pastor Israel Hawkins says to study everything we read. Matthew 6:33 says to seek first the kingdom of Yahweh and his righteousness. Deuteronomy 17:9-11 tells us to go to the priest and ask for their decision and do exactly as I tell you to do. Pastor Israel Hawkins, through his words and his inspired writing, tells us to keep on striving and improving ourselves. He tells us to be righteous examples to others. He tells us to rejoice, to be a blessing to others, and put others above ourselves. The fifth book of Israel, chapter 21, verse 62 says, "The law and the prophets is living and powerful, and it shows that it gets into your heart and your mind and your soul. It gets everywhere. It gets into every part of your life to improve you. It's to improve you and make you fit for this kingdom so you will never want to partake of the other way of life again." And with this, I'd like to turn over to the next speaker.
Shabbat shalom, great saints of Yahweh. Please be seated. Let the peace of Yahweh be with all of us here today. To those who are joining us over all different forms of media, and those who are hungering and thirsting after great Father Yahweh's righteousness. And also, a very warm welcome to our sisters, women of New, who will be speaking on the theme, Improve Ourselves. This is it, the end. And we've heard that from the young girls who spoke. Improve ourselves. This is it, the end. I have a food for thought challenge for you. Are you ready? I'm going to describe two teachers, and I want you to tell me which one do you think is the teacher who wants us to improve ourselves. Tell me which teacher wants us to improve ourselves. Are you ready? Teacher number one, Yahweh, the Creator, the great I Am, creator of all, ruler of all that exists. That's Yahweh. Teacher number two, the adversary, Satan the devil, in opposition to Yahweh. Teacher number two. Are you getting your linen things ready for the feast? Yes, your linen, we're going to have it for the feast. The announcement said that. Nice. You remember the frequency of linen? How much is this? 5,000. Nice. Did you know that, we're still on the food for thought, okay? Did you know that wool has the same frequency? Wool, 5,000. You remember frequency is nice for the body, a nice energy. It helps your circulatory system, your mind, your brain, everything working nice. Yeah, we need to have nice frequency. Do you agree? But one of these teachers tell us, don't worry with those laws. Those things don't mean anything. One of the teachers say something about when you make fabric, do not mix the wool and the linen. You know which teacher? Don't tell me. I want you to tell me which one wants you to improve yourself. Improve ourselves. So this teacher said to us, do not mix. Hello, when you're making fabric, do not mix the linen and the wool. This teacher, why do you think this teacher would tell us that? And on the other hand, the other teacher would say, ta 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 ta, those old laws. Can we see law number something? Oh, it's right there. Can we see? Look at this. Can we see the law part first? The other side. Uh-huh. Thank you. Look at this. Prohibitive law number 42, do not wear holy garments made of both wool and linen. Why? Why do not wear them? Why? Can we see why, please? Let's see this first. This is where linen comes in as a super fabric. Its frequency is 5,000, we know that. Wool is also 5,000, but when mixed together with linen, the frequency cancels each other out and falls to zero. Which of these teachers want us to improve our lives? even wearing a wool sweater on top of a linen outfit, collapsed the electrical field. So, my food for thought, challenge and question for you today is, which of these teachers would want us to improve ourselves? Teacher number one, Yahweh the Great I Am, ruler of all that exists? Or teacher number two, ta-ta-ta, those laws don't mean anything. They are old-fashioned. Which teacher wants us to improve ourselves? Teacher. And what is number one? Who's the teacher? The Great I Am. Praise Yahweh. And with this, we turn over to our great speakers who will tell us more about improving ourselves. Praise Yahweh.
Shalom. If you were called to the Great House of Yahweh as an adult, please take a seat. I want you to look around. Look at all the people that you see standing. If you were called to the Great House of Yahweh as a teenager, please take a seat. Look around again. If you were called to the Great House of Yahweh or came with your parents as a child or were born here, please take a seat. Everybody's sitting now, right? Okay, so there's so many things that we have in common. A few of them are that we all believe in Yahweh, we keep his Sabbath days, and we keep his feast days. Now, the list could go on and on, but there's one thing that I want to focus on today, and that it was in Yahweh's will from the beginning that all of you would be called to his great house. So no matter how you learned about the house of Yahweh or how you came here, he had it in his plan that you would be here today. The plan of Yahweh is something that is so amazing that we cannot fully comprehend. In Isaiah 66, verse 4, and 1 Corinthians 2, verse 9, it says, "But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither have it entered into the minds of men, the things which Yahweh has prepared for those who love him." Now, there are parts of his will and his plan that he does allow us to see, like each one of you being called here. We all can look back on our lives, and we can see times that Yahweh guarded and protected us. This was all in his will. Now let's be real. Coming to the house of Yahweh as a child, being born here, or having your mind open and being called as an adult was the easy part. That was the easy part of this. The hard part is staying here. The hard part is not losing your focus on Yahweh. The hard part is not getting distracted by the world. The hard part comes in and not making decisions based off of your emotions and your feelings. The hard part comes when it looks like there's no way or you can't go on. These are just a few of the challenges that we faced. But we must remember and trust that Yahweh's plan, his will is perfect for each and every one of us. Now, don't get me wrong. It's not always going to be easy peasy lemon squeezy. Sometimes you're going to feel a little stressed, depressed, and maybe a little lemon zest. And that's okay, though, because Yahweh told us in Exodus 20, verse 20, he said that he called us to be tested and proven. Yahweh has this big picture in his mind for his plan, and he sees that he needs to use mankind for it to be completed. Yahweh has called, guarded, and protected many people their whole lives so that one day he would open their minds to the truth. Some of these people were blessed to be born and raised here, but this was all in Yahweh's will. Yahweh didn't ask us to do anything that is too hard, that is unrighteous, or that would be sinful. Actually, he said that it would be his desire that all would turn towards him and keep his laws. We read that in Yeketzkiah 18, verse 32. Now, he didn't always say that his will was going to be something that we liked or something that we were comfortable. Most of the time, doing his will takes us out of our comfort zone. That's when we have to put our full trust in him, Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. He only knows his full plan. In Jeremiah 29, verse 11, he says, "For I know the thoughts, the plans that I have for you, says Yahweh. Thoughts of peace and not of destruction to give you the future you hope for." Throughout the scriptures, we read accounts of many people who Yahweh used to do his will. At times, these people, they didn't want to do what Yahweh needed them to do. Maybe they were a little afraid, uncomfortable, and experienced some unpleasant things. Let's look at an example in Exodus chapter 4, verse 10 to 15. This was Moshe's reply to Yahweh when he told him to go before Pharaoh. Moshe said, "Oh, Yahweh, I have never been an eloquent teacher, not in the past, nor since you have spoken to your servant. I am slow of speech and slow of tongue. Yahweh said to him, who gave man his mouth? Who makes him deaf or mute? Who gives him sight or makes him blind? Is it not I, Yahweh? Now go, I will help you and teach you what you shall say. Guess what Moshe said? He said, Yahweh, please send someone else. So right after Yahweh says, I'm going to help you, he said, no, not me. Please send someone else. Well, Yahweh said, is not Aaron your brother? I know he's going to teach the laws. So Yahweh sent Moshe, Aaron, to help him and guide him to do what he needed him to do. So Yahweh had a will, right? He had this big plan, and he needed Moshe to accomplish it. Now, did Moshe want to do the will of Yahweh at first? No, not at all. But eventually, he learned to accept it and to do his part. Is it hard for you to accept Yahweh's will at times? Let's look at another example. In Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5 and 6, Yahweh is speaking to someone who was at a young age. Let's read where it says here. He says, before I formed you, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you and appointed you as a prophet to the nations. Now, that was Yahweh speaking. Here's what Jeremiah said. Yahweh, my father, behold, I cannot speak. I am only a youth. What was Yahweh's reply to him? Look at verse 17. As for you, get yourself ready and stand up to speak to them all that I command you. He said, do not break down because of them. Yahweh appointed him to do a work. He gave him a job to complete part of his will. Yahweh has done this for each of us. Is there anyone that you can think of in scriptures that they did the will of Yahweh and they had it really easy, no trouble at all? No, there's no one that comes to mind. But I want you to look at the people in the world. Look at the things that they're suffering, their sicknesses, disease, the problems and the issues they're having. But they don't have any true power because they don't have Yahweh and they don't have his laws. Yahweh has not access to do something that we cannot do. He does allow us to be tested to build character in us. And in Matthew chapter 26, verse 39, this was Yeshua's prayer. If you remember, this was before he was arrested. And he said, oh, my father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. He's saying here, not my will, but your will, Yahweh, let that be done. What Yeshua went through was something that was not easy. But even in this, he trusted that Yahweh's will and his plan was perfect. Yahweh isn't asking us to go through what Yeshua did. But we do have struggles, but they cannot compare to his. So even in all this, Yeshua said, Yahweh, let your will be done. When we complain about the test and the trials and the things that we are going through, in essence, we are saying we do not trust Yahweh's plan. We do not trust that he has his will and that it is perfect for each of us. He doesn't understand what we need. But a consistent pattern that we see in all of the people that we looked at today is that they were not capable of doing the will of Yahweh on their own. Yahweh is who helped them to get it done. We read that in 1 Yochanan, or not 1 Yochanan, but Yochanan 5, verse 30. It says, I can of my own self do nothing, but I seek to do the will. I do not seek to do my own will, but the will of the Father who has sent me. So we must do the same as Yeshua. We must put our trust in Yahweh, knowing that his will and his plan is perfect for each of us. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13 tells us that he won't give us more than we can bear. So in closing, I want to encourage you that it's not always easy for us to do what Yahweh set for us to do. And sometimes it is hard to accept the will of Yahweh, especially when we are faced with many tests and struggles. But we can rise above all of these obstacles that are before us because we are striving for perfection. Looking to Yeshua is our example. Following all of the things that we have been taught and seeking guidance on the things that we still need to learn. And in doing this, we are completing Yahweh's will for each of us. Thank you, Kanya Jerabel Hawkins, for giving me the opportunity to speak today and teaching all of us Yahweh's laws. And with this, if you'll stand, I'll turn it over to the next speaker.
Shalom, everyone. You can be seated. Yahweh's peace be with each and every one of you. And praise Yahweh today, all of our speeches seem to be in unity with Yahweh's plan. If we'll go ahead and turn over to Deuteronomy 8 and verse 2, it says, you must remember that Yahweh your Father led you all this way these 40 years in the wilderness in order to humble you, to test and prove you, and to know what was in your heart, to see whether you would keep his laws or whether you would not. Everything that we go through in these last days is for a specific purpose. We should never, ever take what Yahweh is doing with us for granted. We should always ask Father Yahweh for understanding to the fullness of his plan, which we have not yet seen the fullness of his plan. But as the previous speaker said in 1 Corinthians 2, verse 9, eye has not seen, nor has ear heard, nor has it entered into the mind of man the things which Yahweh has prepared for those who love him. Right now we are in a process which is also a part of Yahweh's plan, a process of being proven worthy of those things Yahweh has for us. Yahweh allows us to be tested to know if we're here for him. Yahweh allows us to be tested to know what's in our hearts. Yes, even though we give up a lot, that is our lot. We are to be examples of living sacrifices. As it says in Romans 12, verse 1 through 2, it says, therefore I appeal to you, brothers, by the mercy of Yahweh, that you present your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable to Yahweh, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you can be able to test and prove that what is righteous and acceptable and the perfect will of Yahweh. In the 14th book of Israel, page 235, the Plan Genealogy series number 1, Pastor breaks down 1 Corinthians 15. And in verse 24, it says, then the end, when he will have handed over the kingdoms to Yahweh, our Father, when he will have destroyed every other rule, that is, those who usurp authority, that is not theirs. Yahweh plainly says that. All of this will be destroyed. Every power, every resistant power to this kingdom will eventually be wiped out. Whether it be the small things of rebelling against Yahweh, or rebelling against our head, our earthly heads, or the big things of rebelling against Yahweh. In either case, you're rebelling against Yahweh. So all of this authority that is trying to be usurped will be wiped out, and hopefully in our minds before that day comes. But that day is here, House of Yahweh. This is it. There will be no more delay. Praise Yahweh. Thinking that we have any better way, or the usurping of authority over our parents, those who are put in authority over us, and not being obedient because we want to do our own thing, being conformed to the pattern of this world, put all these things away. We're in this last time period where Yahweh is asking us, Pastor's asking us to improve our lives. Put all these things away. Because in Galatians 5, verse 7, it says, for the lust of the flesh are against the spirit of Yahweh. The spirit of Yahweh is against the lust of the flesh. For the one opposes the other. So be mindful and do not just do anything you desire to do. That right there is very important. Be mindful. Because if we're not mindful, we won't be thankful. We won't be thankful for all that Yahweh has done for us and brought us to this point. I heard it said before that there has to be more to life. And there is so much more. There's so much more, but first, you have to understand what life is. In the first book of Israel, page 63, Pastor says, you are going to be given the highest power there is. Truly think about that. The highest power there is. And then we will be able to have the time of our lives. at that point. In Hebrews 10 and verse 36, it says, "For you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of Yahweh, you can receive the promise, that power. Yet for a little while, he who is coming will come and will not delay." No, there's no more delay. And the evidence is right in front of our faces. We just have to look at the headlines. Just this week alone, on 2/11/2020, the Palestinian Prime Minister Abbas is called for negotiations for the Oslo Accord under the direction of the Quartet. That is huge, sisters. That is it. This is it. CNN.com said on 2/12/2020, the coronavirus has killed more than 100,000 people, and I looked at it again last night, and that's gone up to 17,000 people in China alone, but has infected, when I saw this article first, it said 45,000 people worldwide. Now it's 65,000 people worldwide. And they're now calling it the COVID or COVID-19 virus. We see nation against nation. Syria will hit, Turkey will hit Syrian government forces anywhere. That's from the AlJazeeraNews.com, just on 2/12/2020. From the France24.com on 2/11/2020, catastrophic, aka biblical or apostolic locust crisis in Africa. The UN is calling for urgent action. We see it before our very eyes right now. And Yahweh is protecting us from these things. We are here at Yahweh's house enjoying his protection, coming and going and living our lives, enjoying Yahweh's protection and keeping us away from these things. But we have to make ready. We have to make ready. All of this took place just this week in the news. So let us hold fast. Let us not forget these things, knowing that Yahweh's kingdom is near at hand. Praise Yahweh. I have the honor at this time to turn it over to the next speaker.
This is not a game we're playing here at the house of Yahweh. This is Yahweh's last day's work, and there is no other.
There is no other.
Shalom, everyone. Please be seated. How many of you remember hearing that sermon clip before? Many of us have. Some of us are even blessed to have been there when the sermon was given in 1988. I don't remember when I first heard the clip, but of course our subconscious mind stores everything, and I realized that the other week. I had been asked to write the speech, and I was kind of having a hard time with it. I didn't know what to talk about. I was thinking of bailing out. I didn't want to, but I definitely had the thought. So I was sitting there thinking, and all of a sudden, loud and clear in my head, I heard Pastor saying, "This is not a game we are playing here in the house of Yahweh. This is Yahweh's last day's work, and there is no other." I thought, I gotta get it together. We all have those days, sometimes a week, sometimes two or three. We feel like we can't go on anymore. We feel drained. We get tired. We get tired of the test. We get tired of being disrespected. We get tired of being shown injustice. We get tired of waking up every day and putting forth effort and feeling like we're not getting anywhere. We get tired of trying and trying, and it still feels like we're not doing anything right. We get tired of the devil constantly attacking us. Our arms are limp from pushing the hurdles out of our way, and our legs are weak from climbing over the stumbling blocks. There are moments when you want to give up, but you know deep inside you will not. For though a just person might fall 7 times, they will stand up again. We don't give up because we believe this is Yahweh's last day's work and there is no other. It's when we think we've reached the end of our rope that we have to prove that we believe that this is Yahweh's last day's work and there is no other. We have to prove our belief in Yahweh, in his house, and in his plan for us. We have to prove it by getting back up, continuing to push forward and put forth our best effort. So how do we get back up? We first have to admit that Satan did get us that time. But quoting Pastor the other week, he said, "She might have won this battle, but she won't win the war." Yahweh commanded us to be strong and courageous. He won't give us more than what we can bear. He's not setting us up for failure. In fact, he says, "I am Yahweh, your Father, who teaches you how to succeed." Once we've recognized the devil's tactics, the next thing we need to do is reach out to Yahweh. Seek Yahweh while he can be found. Call upon him while he is near. Yahweh is always there for us, no matter what time of day. Beg Yahweh for strength and guidance. He will give it to you. Evening and morning and at noon, we will pray and cry aloud, and you will hear our voices. The humble one cries, and Yahweh hears him. He saves him out of all of his troubles. The Apostle Joel told us to pray without ceasing. Not only can we talk to our Heavenly Father whenever we need to, he also wrote us a book foretelling our entire future. It is full of encouragement to help us get through the theory tests and trials he knows we have to go through to reach our full potential. All things written in former times are written for our learning, so that through endurance and comfort of the scriptures we might receive hope. The book of Yahweh is filled with amazing scriptures from beginning to end. And in Exodus 19:5, he tells us that if we will truly obey his voice by keeping his covenant, we will be a special treasure to him above all people, for all the earth is his. He also instructs us in Yeshua 1:9 to be strong and courageous, for he is with us. Though Yahweh is our rock, he is our shield and the horn of our salvation. Though we fall, we will arise. Though we sit in darkness, Yahweh will be a light to us. He will not cast away his people whom he foreknew. Behold, we regard as blessed those who endure. For we are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that we would show forth the praises of him who called us out of darkness into this marvelous light. As well as looking to the past for encouragement, we can also look to the future. Blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb, and Yahweh will wipe away all tears from their eyes. There will be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying, nor will there be any more pain, for the former things have passed away. And there will be no night there, and they need no lamp, nor light of the sun, for Father Yahweh gives them light, and they will reign forever and ever. The third tip for picking yourself up and getting back in the game is to plug in your headphones. Music is proven to lift spirits, and we are so blessed in these last days to have many righteous songs to listen to. Put on your best like song, or create a playlist that you can go to when you're feeling down with songs you know will help you get up. And a friend this week told me that when she's having a hard time, she'll just start playing a lot of songs, and then when she finds one starts playing and she starts dancing to it, she'll put that one on repeat and dance until she feels better. Psalm 68:4 tells us to sing to Yahweh, sing praises to his name. So once you've picked yourself up and dusted yourself off, it's time to keep going. You will be tested again, because as a furnace for gold, so Yahweh tests our minds. It's not going to be easy. No one said it would be. It's going to get hard, and it's going to get harder. But Yahweh always gives us times of refreshing and peace. Remember, Yahweh is our strength and our shield. He will not forget your work and your labor of love that you have shown toward his name. You, each and every one of you, you are amazing. You are strong. You got this. We are going to do this together. I would like to thank the greatest teacher in the world, the great Gahan Yisro Abel Hawkins, for giving me the opportunity to speak today. Pastor, thank you for teaching us, for patiently guiding us in Yahweh's way. For this truly is Yahweh's last day's work, and there is no other. Please stand and welcome the next speaker.
Shabbat Shalom. Please be seated. Okay. The title of my speech is Today is the End Times, Not the In Between Times. The Waint is Over. Don't be looking into the past and saying, those days were better. After all, we did not know Yahweh's laws back then. Now, would you please turn to Ecclesiastes 7, verse 10 on page 522. Now that's Ecclesiastes 7, verse 10, page 522. And it says, do not say, why were those days better than these? You are not showing wisdom by asking such a question. We need to be looking at what's going on right now. Now, here's a few headlines. On Washington Times, on 6/13/2019, just last year, it said, why moving the U.S. Embassy to Jerusalem was smart. And another headline from the end of the year, 12/06/2018, from the Jerusalem Post. This is a quote from the ambassador of Jerusalem, well, of Israel, and it said, Freeman moving to the U.S. Embassy to Jerusalem resonated around the world. Now, it sure resonated with us, definitely. I mean, it's in a prophetic word. In the prophetic word, 8/2019, on page 3, on the upper right corner, it says, the first half ended with the U.S. president choosing not to sign the Jerusalem embassy waiver. Again, on 6/6/2019. Since the U.S. embassy has moved to Jerusalem and the ambassador's residence has been procured, signing the waiver every 6 months for over 20 years kept the second half of the 7-year peace plan from going into effect. The Trump administration has already said there is no need for delaying the plan again by signing the waiver. So with this, the world will see the next prophecy come into effect. Okay, we are in the last days, called the worst time of trouble ever. In Matthew 24, verses 21, we need to be the believers talked about in Yochanan 20, verse 29. Who will believe? And how do we show our belief? Turn to Yochanan 20, verses 29, pages 8-38. Now that is Yochanan 20, verse 29, page 8-38. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. Okay. The sixth book of Israel is called Believe Without Seeing. And it goes into more detail about what we need to do to be able to believe without seeing. Are we in the proper mindset? Or are we caught up in the distractions of the world? Turn to Yochanan Mark 4, verse 19. Now this is on page 762. All right. And it says, but the cares, anxieties, and distractions of this world, or the deceitful attractiveness of riches, or the lust for other things, begin to creep in and choke the word, the law and the prophet, and it becomes unfruitful. Now let's turn to Proverbs 6, verse 10. That's on page 499, Proverbs 6, verse 10. Now you're all familiar with this one. A little more sleep, a little more slumber, a little longer with hands folded in slumber. Okay. We grew up in the house of Yahweh with the 7-year peace plan and tribulation. We talked about it. We prepared for it. And we remained stubborn, sticking in our place, letting the foolishness not pull us out. And here we are, the house of Yahweh, in the last 3.5 years. That will be so bad that Yahweh said, I'm going to cut it short for y'all, for his elect's sake. Now that's found in Romans 29, verses 27 through 28. Oh dear, I dropped something. Okay, so today is the end times, not the in-between times. The wait is over. Now ask yourself, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? This is the time, right now. There is no waiting. Yahweh's not going to say, hey, it was too hard, you know, it was too long, I didn't give you enough time, so I'm going to resurrect you and give you a second opportunity. No, he's not going to give us a second opportunity. We don't get a second opportunity. Our opportunity is right here before us. And if we don't choose it, we won't be in the kingdom with Yahweh. We won't be there when Abel gets up and speaks to us. Do we believe without seeing? Do we walk back into this world saying, you know what, I want my iPod, I want my big car, I want to have fun. What is fun but a distraction? Right now, we need to tighten our belts, put away these distractions, and get serious. I mean, how many times have you said, I have wasted time. I could have benefited from myself. I could have done better. But instead, we just get distracted. We put things off. We procrastinate. We don't get involved. We need to be involved in this work right now. Tell Yahweh that this is where we want to be and never leave. This right now is the end times, not the in-between times. The wait is over. Let's get into the kingdom together. And with that, I'll turn it over to the next speaker.
Shabbat shalom, everyone. You can be seated. Okay, now the title of my speech today is Kingdom of Priests. Now, how many of you all remember a few months ago when Overseer gave us an assignment of studying the work of a priest? You remember that? He told us to study the work of a priest. And how many of you, the first thing he did was went to the fifth book of Yisrael, which is entitled The Kingdom of Priests? Of course, you know, what better way to study the work of a priest than to go to Overseer's words himself? So that's where I want to start today, is in the fifth book of Yisrael, and it's chapter 9, verse 56. And it says, we as a people, and this is what this is saying, as a kingdom of priests, are getting down to it and working to accomplish taking over the universe. That's why we're trying to overcome. You don't overcome sin intellectually. You do it by determination of righteousness. This is how you qualify for this kingdom. Then you obtain what you've learned in Yahweh's laws, which are mercy, truth, and the righteous judgments of Yahweh. Remembering Hezekiah where he said, they will use my judgments? Yahweh was saying that of his priests and the priesthood. He said, they will guide my people by my judgments and teach them my statutes and my laws. And I also wanted to go over to chapter 10, verse 35, and chapter 10 of the same book, and chapter 10, verse 35, and it says, what we're doing right now is training for righteousness, to qualify us not to do what our forefathers did before us and what scientists, Christians, and all the other religions are doing today. That training will qualify us for this power that Yahweh is going to give us. It's authority over the enzymes, where you can tell an enzyme to do a certain thing and it will do it. Now, Yahshua himself had authority over the enzymes, and we can read of several examples of Yahshua controlling the microbes in the water, controlling the microbes in the air. So how much more awesome is it that Yahshua himself, the first son of man who was granted such power, that he is working exclusively with our great teacher and with diligent guidance and inspiration, overseer is teaching and training us for righteousness to qualify for this power and authority also. And I wanted to go over to Revelation 3, verses 9 through 11. And it says, "Behold, I give out of those of the assemblage of the accuser who preach themselves to be those who worship Yahweh, and they are not, but they attempt to deceive by falsehood. Behold, I will appoint them for the purpose of worshiping in the presence of your footstool, and they will understand that I love you." And that's what I really want to focus on in this speech today. That as we are training to be this kingdom of priests, you have to keep in the forefront of your mind that Yahweh loves you. We're not just doing this just for nothing. Yahweh tells us that he loves us. He calls us his special treasure. That's an awesome thing. So throughout the training, the tests, and the trials, don't allow Satan to get you down, because Yahweh loves you. We see the whole world and all of its evil, wickedness, it's going down at this time. Yahweh says he turns his face from those who choose wickedness. But Yahweh, he allows his face to shine upon us because he loves us. We have to stay encouraged, great family. Continuing to read in Revelation 3, verse 10, it says, "Because you have kept the word of my patience, I also will keep you from the hour of temptation, which will come upon all the world to test those who dwell upon the earth. Behold, I come quickly. Hold fast that which you have, that no man take your crown." And I also wanted to go over to 2 Timothy 2, verse 19. And it says, "Nevertheless, the foundation of Yahweh stands sure. Having this seal, Yahweh knows those who are his, because everyone who reverences the name of Yahweh departs from iniquity." Yahweh has us on display right now. He has the representation of each and every one of us on the great sea of glass, so that all the universe can witness our overcoming and our standing fast and holding fast for Yahweh. The whole universe is able to witness us enduring the tests and the trials before our righteousness, so that very soon now they will know that we also will lead them to righteousness as well. And we will be able to take away all the suffering that they are enduring at this time to bring them joy, peace, and everlasting life that we are now growing and learning to obtain for ourselves. And it's such an awesome thing, great family. You have to stay encouraged. And I also want to read from 1 Yochanan 5. 1 Yochanan 5, verse 20. And it says, "And we know that the Son of Yahweh has come and has given us an understanding, in order that we might know him who is true, and we are in him who is true, for we are in his son, Yahshua Messiah.
Yahweh is the true Father and eternal life. And what you should get from that is unity. Yahshua, Yahweh, they're one because they're in complete unity. Yahshua, Yahweh, and Yisrael are one because they are in complete unity. We also, great family, have to come into that complete unity so that we can be one with our Father as well. And in this 3.5 years, there will be no more delay. The time is so short now. We cannot allow discouragement to keep us down. When you feel discouraged, there's so many outlets that you can turn to be of encouragement. The book of Yahweh tells us in so many places of how much Yahweh cares about us. This last generation, that will be first. The whole plan of Yahweh hinges upon us. And it's not something to make you feel discouraged or make you feel like it's too hard for you to bear. Yahweh already tells us he has our back. We have the greatest teacher in the world. We have the greatest high priest that is sending us righteous inspiration. We got this. And with this, if you would all please just be encouraged and remember that Yahweh loves you. And I would like to play a song clip and turn it over to the next teacher.
Shalom. Please have a seat. Please turn to page 405 in the Book of Yahweh. I would like to paraphrase the story of Queen Hadassah and share a few lessons that I have learned. Hadassah lived a long time ago. She was a Hebrew and she worshiped Yahweh. Her whole family loved Yahweh. Both of her parents died, and her cousin Mordecai raised her as his own daughter. He taught her Yahweh's laws. She grew into a beautiful, righteous young woman. Everyone loved and respected her. One day, the king had a celebration, and he wanted the queen to come and see him, but she refused. That was a big deal. When the king called for his queen, he expected her to come. Something had to be done. The king decided to choose a new queen. He wanted a queen who would obey. All the young women in the kingdom wanted to be the queen. Mordecai wanted Hadassah to be the queen. Mordecai sent Hadassah to the king's palace to see if she would be chosen as the next queen. How would Hadassah even be considered? The king had so many women to choose from. Hadassah was obedient to her cousin Mordecai and went to the king's palace as she was told to do. She did the beauty treatments. She was easy to get along with. She didn't complain. She enjoyed being obedient. The people who were in authority over her really liked her because she was so easy to work with. She always had a kind word and a smile for everyone she met. Hadassah was peaceful and pleasant. Mordecai always got a great report on Hadassah. After a year of living at the king's palace, in doing all the beauty treatments, it was finally time for Hadassah to meet the king. That's a long time to wait, a year. She only had one opportunity to meet the king, and then he would decide if she would be the next queen. Hadassah had no idea what she should take with her when she saw the king. Hadassah trusted Yahweh. She knew that Yahweh would direct her path. When the day came for the king to meet Hadassah, he was very impressed with how she carried herself. She dressed modestly. She was beautiful and humble. She was very respectful and had a pleasant personality. The king liked Hadassah and wanted Hadassah to be his new queen. She was now Queen Hadassah. Even though she was queen, Hadassah still followed the instructions given by Mordecai and did not tell anyone that she was a Yadayim. One day, Mordecai overheard two of the king's servants talking about their plan to kill the king. Mordecai quickly sent a message to Queen Hadassah and told her of the servants' evil plan to kill the king. Queen Hadassah shared what she knew with the king, and she made sure to tell the king that it was Mordecai who gave her the information. This was recorded in the king's book. Queen Hadassah's obedience had saved the king's life. Hadassah had been the queen now for 5 years when King Xerxes decided to give a man named Haman a very high position. Haman was haughty and prideful. He was not an easy man to like. Haman enjoyed it when the people of the kingdom bowed down to him. Mordecai refused to bow down to him. The king's officials asked Mordecai to bow down to Haman, and Mordecai still refused. This went on for some time. The men told Haman, "Mordecai refuses to bow down to you. What are you going to do?" The king's officials knew that Mordecai was a Yadayim and that he worshipped Yahweh. They did not worship Yahweh. Haman saw for himself that Mordecai would not bow down to him, and he was filled with rage. He could have Mordecai killed, but he had an evil plan to not only kill Mordecai, but to have all the Yadayim killed. Haman went to talk to King Xerxes. He said to the king, "There are people in your kingdom who call themselves Yadayim, and they do not worship like we worship. Their laws are different from all other people. They do not even obey the king's commands. Should we allow this to continue?" Haman already had a plan. He said to the king, "If it pleases you, let it be recorded that the people who call themselves Yadayim are to be destroyed. I will pay 375 tons of silver directly into the king's treasure to carry out the process. It will cost you nothing." Haman was very wealthy, and he could easily afford to pay a lot of his own money to have the Yadayim killed. 1 ton of silver is about 2,000 pounds of silver. For those of you who like numbers, Haman was willing to pay 750,000 pounds of silver to destroy the Yadayim. That's a lot of money. The king thought about this plan. Haman would use his own money to have the people destroyed. The king removed the ring from his finger and gave it to Haman, the enemy of the Yadayim. The king said to Haman, "It is your money, and the people are yours to do with as you please." The king did not try to stop Haman's evil plan. The king did not know that he was giving Haman permission to kill his queen. The king did not know that Queen Hadassah was a Yadayim. Just as the plot thickens, my time runs out. You can read the rest of the story in the Book of Yahweh, pages 407 to 411. but I would like to share with you some lessons I have learned from Queen Hadassah. There's 13 of them. Number one, Hadassah experienced tragedy in her life at a very young age. Both of her parents died, yet she still chose to have a positive attitude. Proverbs 17, verse 3. Like the refining pot for silver, the furnace for gold, so Yahweh tests the minds of men. Number two, Hadassah had a great reputation. Proverbs 11, 16. A kind-hearted woman gains honor. Number three, kingdoms change and world leaders change. Daniel 2, 20 to 21. Daniel spoke and said, "Blessed be your name, O Yahweh, forever and ever, for wisdom and power are yours. You change the times and the seasons. You remove kings and set up kings. You give wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who know understanding." Lesson number four, a woman's disobedience is unacceptable and unrighteous and needs to be corrected and stopped. Leviticus 19, 17, you shall not hate your neighbor in your heart. Rebuke your brother or your sister frankly, so you will not share in his or her guilt. Number five, lesson number five, everyone wanted to be queen, to have a high position. Matithya 24, 14, for many are called, but few are chosen. Number six, Hadassah obeyed her guardian, Mordecai. Exodus 20, verse 12, honor your father and mother, so your days might be long upon the land which Yahweh your father is giving you. Number seven, Hadassah enjoyed being obedient. Philemon 21, having confidence in your obedience, knowing that you will do even more than I ask. Number eight, what will you take with you when you go to see the king, when you go to the marriage supper? Righteousness is the only thing that will count. Psalm 7, verse 8, judge us by our righteousness. Psalm 11, verse 7, for Yahweh is righteous. He loves righteousness from his own. Lesson number 9, Yahweh directs our path. Proverbs 16, 9, a man's mind plans his way, but Yahweh directs his steps. Number 10, you never know who Yahweh will use to save someone's life. Yaakov 1, 9, let the humble brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted. Number 11, and we heard another speaker talk about this lesson, be willing, be willing, be willing to be used by Yahweh. Yaakov 4:10, humble yourselves in the sight of Yahweh, and he will lift you up. Number 12, do not give in to sin. Matithya 4:10, then Yahshua said to her, you get away, Satan, for it is written, Yahweh your Father you must reverence, and him only you must serve. 1 Yochanan 5:21, little children, keep yourselves from the defilement of the gods. And number 13, righteousness prevails. Revelation 19, verse 7 and 8. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come. In the house of Yahweh, all the virgins who have been chosen and have made themselves ready. And to them was granted that they should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. And in conclusion, I hope that you got as one of the main points in this speech, and I would like for you parents to take time to read the scriptures to your children. Teach your children to love reading the scriptures. Please make them come alive for your children, and you will be the one who benefits. I encourage you to read the remainder of the book of Hadassah and think about her story. What lessons stand out to you? What scriptures can you use to support these lessons? I would like to thank the greatest teacher in the world, the great Kahan Yisroel Abel Hawkins, for giving me the opportunity to speak. My family is truly thankful to be a part of this great house. Please stand and welcome the next speaker.
Shabbat Shalom, everyone. Please be seated. The title of my speech today is Bring Forth the Memory of Righteousness, Reverence Yahweh. From the vocabulary.com dictionary, the phrase bring forth means to bring into existence. So how do we bring into existence the memory of righteousness? We, this great body of people, called up by Yahweh, submit to this great training program Yahweh provides, where we learn and practice righteousness by choice. In 1 Yochanan 3 and verse 7, it shows that she who practices righteousness is righteous, just as Yahweh is righteous. In 1 Yochanan 2 and verse 29, it says, if you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone who practices righteousness is begotten of him. In 1 Yochanan 5 and verse 18, it states that he or she who has been begotten of Yahweh keeps himself. So the question is, how do we keep ourselves? By maintaining positive morals, by doing righteousness. In the Peaceful Solution Character Education Program Manual, Character Unit, page 79, it states that maintaining your character must be done on a daily basis. Sometimes it must be done minute by minute. So you see, it's a work in progress as we strive to be perfect, as Matthias 6 and verse 48 says. And we must always also remember that 1 Timothy 1 and verse 8 says, we know that the law is perfect, and if one agrees with the law, taking it to himself to use, as Leviticus 18 and verse 5 shows, you practice them, you do them, and you will live by them. And that's how we know we belong to Yahweh. Belongs to Yahweh? That tags us with the 1074, as we all know. Remember, Yahweh knows those who are his, because everyone who reverences the name of Yahweh departs from iniquity. Sisters, house of Yahweh, we have to set our minds and fight the righteous fight of the faith, for this is the reason why we are called to Yahweh's great house. By yielding ourselves to this great training program Yahweh provides, it enables us the ability to use knowledge with wisdom. Not as the world uses knowledge, they use knowledge for war and destruction. And this prophesied knowledge has been increased, started in 1934 with the birth of our overseer, Yisroel Abel Hawkins. From the prophetic word 2020, page 2, on the top, it says, Yahweh gave Satan every advantage. Pastor writes, The Creator Yahweh gave Satan and mankind full advantage to practice their own way, but warned them in advance that the ways of sin would bring them sickness, disease, confusion, hatred, fighting, and wars. And we can see this taking place in the world today. So we see here that only the house of Yahweh, the prophesied house of Yahweh, believes all that the prophets have spoken, and we are the believers of prophecy, as 1 Corinthians 14 and 22 states. Now here in the book of Yeshua, part 1, the chosen branch, chapter 19, page 189, verse 33, pastor writes, "The prophecies contain the promises, and then the laws contain the character, and this is what Yahweh begot Yeshua with and is begotten us today." There are some steps that leads us to bring forth the memory of righteousness. 1, active prayer. How is our prayer life? What do we pray for? When do we pray? We can think of King David. He states in Psalm 55 and verse 17, "Evening, morning, and at noon we will pray." And he was confident that Yahweh will hear his voice, and so he is hearing us today. The second point is active studying. In 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15, it says, "Study to show yourselves approved to Yahweh." So when we incorporate study habits daily, we are fulfilling this. And there comes the acts of righteousness. So I want to bring your mind to my title that says, "Bring forth the memory of righteousness, reverence Yahweh." When I put that number in the gematria, it gives two numbers that I could use. One is number 4160 and 3594. Number 3594 comes from number 3595, and it means to show the way, to teach, to guide, and to lead. Number 3595 means a teacher, a guide, and a leader, and that's what we are practicing today. We must remember that in Luke 6 and verse 45, it shows a righteous man or woman out of the rich treasure of his heart brings forth that which is righteous. And how do we get that rich treasure? In verse 40 of that same chapter, the disciple is not above his teacher, but everyone who is perfect will be as his teacher. And we know that Yisrael Hawkins, as Isaiah 45 and verse 13 show, is our teacher. It says, "I have raised him up in righteousness, and he will build my city." And I put in City of Hope, also known as City of Israel. That's our next tag number, 322. So the next number, 4160, it supports the title, and it says, it means to abide, to bring forth, continue without delay, to perform. And it says to compare 4238, and it means to practice repeatedly or habitually, and it says require. So it's a requirement of us. Now King David also said in Psalm 27 and verse 4, "One thing we desired of you, Yahweh, that we seek after all the days of our lives, that we can dwell in the house of Yahweh, to see your beauty, to inquire of you in your holy sanctuary." And Psalm 28 and verse 8 says, "Yahweh is our strength and the saving strength of his anointed, who teaches us righteousness." So I implore you, my sisters, the house of Yahweh, bring forth the memory of righteousness, simply reverence Yahweh. And I turn it back to the next teacher.
Shabbat Shalom, everyone. Please be seated. Are we all awake? Is there anyone out there besides me that battles with the snooze alarm on their alarm clock in the morning? You know, you set your alarm like 30 minutes before you want to get up, and then when the snooze goes off, you hit the snooze button, and then 9 minutes later, the snooze goes off again, and you hit the snooze button again. And you might continue that cycle until, yes, it really is time to get up. Well, if you, like me, found yourself doing this, I have something to say to you today. Don't mash that snooze button. When you get in the habit of snoozing, which is drifting in and out of sleep, it confuses your body and your brain. Hitting that snooze messes around with your sleep cycles. And our sleep cycles are perfectly designed by Yahweh. He made them for us. He designed it perfectly for our bodies. You know, in Psalm 139, he tells us that we are wonderfully made. And in the course of a night, our brain and body goes in and out of about 2 to 4 sleep cycles, each one lasting about 90 minutes. And as the night goes on, about 2 hours before you're supposed to wake up, our body and our brain, actually, they get prepped to wake up. Our temperature, our body temperature starts to rise. The cortisol and the hormone levels, they begin to increase. And our blood pressure and our breathing begin to change. And so after about 6 hours of sleep or so, it's different, everybody's different, but that's kind of a gauge. Our mind at that point is actually in the right state to wake up. The alarm signals the end of a sleep cycle. So our brains, they're ready to start. Our brains are ready to start at that point. They're ready to engage. And this is when, at this point, we need to jump out of bed. We need to get up right at that point. Because at that point, we're rested, we're awake, we're alert, and we're aware. And that's why it's the best time to get up and study. You see how perfect Yahweh's ways are and how he designed us? But when you mash that snooze button, it makes you good. You mash the snooze button in the dozing again. It puts you into another sleep cycle. And remember, sleep cycle is supposed to last 90 minutes, but the snooze button is only going to last 9 minutes. So when that alarm goes off again, it jolts you. It just jolts you right out of a sleep cycle. And each time we hit the snooze and then doze, it starts that cycle all over again. And our body doesn't quite know what to do because it's right in the middle of a sleep cycle. The National Sleep Institute calls this sleep inertia. You probably all heard of sleep inertia. That's that groggy, confused, disoriented feeling that comes when you're awakened from a deep sleep. The one that we went right back into when we hit the snooze button. And our brain is not able to fully shake off that grogginess. It's hard to focus, it's hard to concentrate, and it's hard to make decisions. And it actually impacts our ability to use strategic thinking. Your brain and body go into autopilot, and the things that you do automatically every day, they suddenly aren't registering. Where's my keys? I can't find my glasses. Oh, no, I forgot to pray this morning. And no amount of coffee will totally pull you out of that state. The feeling of grogginess can last between 90 minutes and 4 hours, actually. So groggy, disoriented, confused, and limited focus ability. That's what we set ourselves up for when we choose to mash that button. So how do we get unstuck from this rut? Remember, the sound of the alarm is our signal to wake up, get up. We have to improve our response to the alarm. It's all in how we're thinking. It's easy to sometimes fake ourselves out because, I mean, actually, we didn't get up late. We got up, but we did it our own way. We didn't wait for Yahweh's sleep cycle. Where we are right now, today in history and in prophecy, is it. It's it, the end. there will be no more delay. And that fact was firmly established on 6/10/2019, Noah 6, the 50th day of the Omer, when Pastor Yisrael Hawkins, the seventh trumpet, sounded the alarm, declaring that the last 3.5 years has commenced. That was almost 9 months ago. So I asked myself, how much snoozing have I done in just that period? How many times have I self-sabotaged and missed opportunities to improve my studies because I was feeling confused and disoriented from mashing that button? And how many ways have I neglected in serving or was selfish with my time, the time that Yahweh gave me, because I felt groggy and tired because I wanted to do it my way? Or how many times have I failed setting my mind in advance in overcoming obstacles because the choice I made to hit the snooze impacted my ability to think clearly? When we rise Yahweh's way, we are awake, alert, and aware. In 1 Kefa 5:8, he tells us to be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom she may devour. Now, improve. Ways to improve. If you look at the definition of improve, it means to make or become better. Develop or increase in mental capacity by education or experience. But what I really love is the two highlighted definition. Well, the one right now, perfect. Perfect. In Hebrews 1:3, our perfect example, the Yeshua, who being the reflection of the perfect, the reflection of Yahweh and the representation of the perfect, the one perfect. He's a representation of the one perfect. And that's what we're becoming. The more we do it Yahweh's way and put our way down, we choose that. Instead of choosing our way, we choose Yahweh's way. We put on that perfection. And the next definition is overshadow. That's what improve means. Another definition for improve is overshadow. And that brought me immediately to the class that we're doing right now and making the connection with Yahweh. On the first book of Israel, chapter 8, verse 76. And Pastor tells us this word, overshadow. Overshadow means to be more significant or make something more significant or important than by comparison, to invest with influence. This word overshadow is being applied to a person's mind. Remember, it's all in our thinking. As we put on that new man, as we put on the perfection of Yahweh, as we make those wise choices, as we choose Yahweh, it's being applied to our mind, and we become strong, firm, powerful, and unyielding, we prevail. And the last sentence there, making strong, firm, and variously applied to a person's mind, to the person's mind. So as we continue in these last days, and if we all continue to listen to the alarm, the last trumpet, we will become that person. We will have that overshadowing on us. And thank you for listening. With that, I'd like you to stand and welcome our next speaker.
Shabbat shalom, you can be seated. Okay. On the 14th, not the 12th. Of Yeshua after class on that Roman Thursday. I was outside after class and I looked up in the sky and I saw a picture. It was like a strange picture, like somebody was leaping across the sky. So I'm like, I see like in. So I'm looking for my phone. My phone's jacked up. Anyway, so I asked Coley, I was like, you have a phone? So she said, yeah, I have a phone. So she gave me her phone. I started snapping pictures. So can we please see the first picture, please? Okay. Now, that picture has end in it. It says end. Can you show the next picture? And it's going past. Can you show the next picture? You'll see the E, N, and the D. It's like it's highlighted, but it looks like a man. You look, you'll see a man, but it's all the letters we're showing were like pictures of faces and stuff like that. Can you show the next picture, please? You see a man looking at you, but it's saying end. But there's a lot of ends. I left a picture, a rendition that somebody drew, but it has a lot of ends in there. Okay, so let me start because I don't have that much time. Okay, the first, can you go to the, probably can't see it, but let me just read it. It says, the end. I'm just going to read it, okay? So it says end. So all these numbers from the details from the pictures. So number 6, it says to wander away, destroy. It says destruction, escape, perish, have no way to flee. So from Hebrew 6:13, it says band, company of persons, gathering, imprisonment. And then it goes to 6:31. It goes to prepare, make ready, bind. So G6:13 says, that's the Greek, it says to conceal away. It says secret, treasure, hide, hid, keep secret. So 575 in the Greek, it says separation, departure, cessation, completion. So separation means in dictionary.com the action of state of moving or being moved apart. Severance, the action of ending a connection or relationship, a parting of the ways, a point at which two people must separate or at which a decision must be taken. So 29:28, it says a covering, hide, keep secret, secretly. And you can see this after if you want from the office. Okay, let's go to the next number. 32 is a messenger. We're talking about our pastor, Israel Hawkins. Okay, H, which is Hebrew 3:20, it means latter. That means later. So it says the last, end, future, last, latter, remnant, reward. So number 4, it says fruit. Goes to number 3, it says a green plant, greenness, fruit. 24, meaning to be tender, green. It goes to the month of Abib. And we're talking about the Feast of Passover. Okay, so we have worshiper, number 29, self-existent, eternal, come to pass, and that's 3068 talking about Yahweh's name. And I might just skip through some numbers because it is a lot of numbers. Okay, so we have, let's go to H26, talking about source of joy, and then it goes to rejoice, and then 62 goes to Abel. And so we know Abel, the house of Yahweh, family, Beit Yahweh, 1121, builder of a family name. I'm going to go to last. Can I show the last picture? Because it's a lot of stuff. So that's last. You see the last, L-A-S-T, up there. Okay? Okay, so let's go to the overhead. So that's saying, again, to roll away back. Okay, 575 says denote separation, departure, cessation, completion. To the next one. Okay, stone of help. So the dictionary.com says aid, help, but succor. It says assistance and support in times of hardship and distress. See the next one, please. Okay, so we see 62, the metal, Abel. We see 12, it goes to 12, 6, it's perishing, destruction. Number 6, lose oneself, not escape, perish, have no way to flee. Let's see the next one, please. Okay, so 2025, so we see that that is the mountain of Yahweh, the altar of burnt offerings. 2022 says, goes to 2042, says mountain of range of hills. Figuratively, promotion. So we know Isaiah 2:2 and Micaiah 4:1-2. So do you understand what it's saying here? So for the Greek, 2025 says to smear, to anoint. Can we see the next one, please? So we have Father Righteousness, H36. So we see 2898, it says righteousness, especially righteousness, beauty. So we're talking about Yahweh, the house of Yahweh. Can I see the next one, please? And we see the builder, 431, builder of a family, anointed, appointed, one born branch, 447, serving. That's talking about Yisrael Hawkins. Okay, so we also have G36 that goes to 1085, kin, born, country, generation, offspring, 1074, which is Pastor Yisrael Hawkins' tag number, generation, age. Let's get the next one. Okay, so we see this right here is talking about 415, Yisrael. It goes to the mighty of Yahweh, Yisrael, the title given to a consecrated spot. 3478 says Yisrael, he who rules is Yahweh. 828 is Yisrael Hawkins' birthday, a prince to have power. Okay, let me get this right here. I'm going to read this. The time of the picture that was taken was 6:43. And even if you can't see the picture, what's in the picture, Yahweh's words are real. The picture that was put there, 6:43 means from 575-4632, to pack up baggage, take up carriages. We don't have carriages, but we have cars now. So Yahweh is telling you to come to his house. It's urgent. So also, too, it says to make ready, 3903, to make ready, prepare yourself, be ready. All these messages today are is saying the same thing. You have to come home. It's so vital to come home, to come to the place that Yahweh, he called each and everyone, 2 billion people, he's calling you. We don't want to wait until it's over to suffer the destruction. You see, you might not even have a way to flee. I mean, come on. 1586 says, make a choice, choose, be chosen. That's what Yahweh wants us to do, because first of all, his house is the truth. There is no other place. This is the greatest place in the world. And Yahweh is here. Our high priest is here. He's the Yisrael Hawk is the co-regent with Yahshua Messiah. So co-regent is he's working with him in this government. So with that, I will turn over to the next speaker.
Shalom. Please be seated. Okay. Okay. The title of my speech today is, Why Not Go to the Doctor? Why not go to the doctor? I'm not telling anyone not to go to the doctor. Let me say that to begin with. That's your choice. But I want to give you a few little scenarios of what can occur when you go to the doctor. Now, about 38 years ago, I had some problems, and I thought, well, I better go to the doctor and get checked up and see what's wrong. So I went, and they did tests, and 2 weeks later, I went back to get the results. I don't have a great memory, but I can remember that day crystal clear, sitting in the room that they put you in. They put you in that room, you don't have a lot of clothes on, and it's cold, and you're very vulnerable when they come in. And when God walks in and he says, well, let me see, we have you scheduled for surgery. And I went a little bit crazy because I didn't even know what was wrong with me. And I really went off. I wasn't as calm back then as I am now. But let me tell you, he looked at me and he looked at the chart and he looked at me and he said, oh, I think I have the wrong chart. This is a true story, and I said that day, I will never go back to a doctor. I'd already had a couple other experiences, and I never did till a few years ago when I got the toothpick in my foot. And I couldn't get it out. My daughter couldn't get it out. So we went to the emergency room so they could get it out. I couldn't walk. It was like an inch and a half long. And they took x-rays. And we sat in the room waiting for God to come and tell me what to do with my foot. And he finally came. And he says, well, it didn't show up on the x-ray because it's organic. So why did we take the x-rays? And then he picked up my foot and he looked at it and he pushed on it a little bit. And he said, I don't think we should dig in there and cut your foot open. It's organic. It'll come out on its own. Now, that was God's verdict. And I left the hospital, not able to walk on my foot. If it hadn't been for Pastor making me that special shoe, I would have went crazy. But he made me a shoe, and I could walk. And eventually, a friend of mine took the toothpick out. It was grown to the flesh of my foot. Now, you tell me it's coming out. These are doctors that we look at as gods. There's a lady, she went to the doctor, which got tests like I did, and they said, you have the most aggressive cancer and you need chemotherapy right now or you're going to die. So, of course, she believed them because they're God. And so they gave her the chemotherapy. They did the surgery. They mutilated her body. They did the chemotherapy again. And she's now an advocate for machines to diagnose, not people, because when she went to another doctor later on, he said, you never had cancer. But there's nothing you can do. What can you do? You signed away your rights. They said, not only that, if you have the surgery to reconstruct, it'll probably give you cancer. What's wrong with this system? Pastor said in the 9th book of Israel, part 1, this first article was handed to me right the last thing, but it says, don't let a hospital make you sick. Laughing, of course. I've been preaching for years, don't go to the hospital unless you absolutely have to. Don't go to the doctors unless you absolutely have to. Nearly 98,000 Americans die each year due to medical mistakes. Now, that's just mistakes. That was in 2009 on 2/22/18. A recent study, John Hawkins claims more than 250,000 people in the U.S. die every year from medical errors. Other reports claim the numbers are as high as 440,000 people. This is just mistakes that they make. Medical errors are the third leading cause of death after heart disease and cancer. And remember, you don't really know if it's after cancer because a lot of people are treated for cancer that don't even have cancer. A lot of people die from the chemotherapy, not the cancer. I mean, it's crazy out there. So now they say advocates are fighting back, pushing for a greater legislation for patient safety. At just a year and a half, Emily was diagnosed with a massive abdominal tumor and endured numerous surgeries and rigorous chemotherapy before finally being declared cancer-free. This baby was declared cancer-free. But just to be sure, doctors encouraged Chris and his wife to continue with Emily's last scheduled chemotherapy session, a three-day treatment that would begin on her second birthday. On the morning of the final day of treatment, a pharmacy technician prepared an intravenous bag, filling it with more than 20 times the recommended dose of sodium chloride. Within hours, Emily was on life support and declared brain dead. 3 days later, she died. These are people, they were overworked. I've researched it. They were overworked. They were tired. They weren't that experienced, and they make mistakes. And why the other three treatments? Come on. More money? I'm telling you, this is a set-up system. Now, I went to the Yematria, and I looked up, why not go to the doctor? And in the Jewish Yematria, it was 2105. It's Zeus, the ruler of air and sky. That's a great reason. And then 1620 in the English, and it means to place or set out to expose, right? We're going to expose what goes on. Pastor's been exposing it for years. He just said last week, don't go to the hospital. You're putting your life at risk. That, and I want you to know, that's just mistakes. That don't count when you go to the hospital and you get MERS or you get this infection or this virus or this. It doesn't count that. Those are other deaths. And then why not go to the doctor? Simple gematria was 270, to reap, grasp, take hold, take possession, and that's exactly what they do. They take hold and take possession of everything you have. I know people that spent every penny they had on their health to get well, and when they run out of money, they can't help you. Just know that. It's a money thing. Now, why would we go to the doctor? Pastor gave a sermon, and I couldn't find it, but not long ago, and he said, go to the priest before you go to a doctor. Get prayed for. It says in Yaakov 15:14-15, he says, in 14, it says, let him call for the priest among the called out ones, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of Yahweh. And sisters, they'll also give you advice. If they know what, if you explain to them what's going on, they can give you advice. There's places that we can go for advice from Yahweh. We can fast. Fasting is the best cure. Our bodies are made for that. We can fast. We can watch our diet. I have trouble with high blood sugar. If I eat a piece of cake, phew, my blood sugar shoots up. So wouldn't I be silly to eat a piece of cake, knowing that it's going to do that? We have to control ourselves. When we see something as harming us, you know, Shaul said, "Not everything clean's not advantageous for every person. Some things I can eat, you can't eat, and some things you eat, I can't eat. But we learn our bodies. And we accommodate our bodies with what benefits them. There's so many things that we can do that Yahweh made a way for us to see. He's opened things up for us with the internet. It's so many information, so much information that we have now. We shouldn't be sick. And the biggest thing, Kohana gave a speech not long ago on, is you have to be forgiving. You cannot walk around with resentment and hatred in your heart and expect to be healthy. It won't be. Because our emotional well-being, our spiritual well-being, everything is connected. And if you are carrying around resentment, unforgiveness, some days things get real crazy and we don't have enough help and I find myself getting a little resentful. And I have to stop and say, whoa, stop it. Let's be thankful. No matter how tough you think things are, we have to be thankful. Thankfulness will cure anything. It all comes from our thoughts. What we think is what we are. If we think negative, we are negative. If we think we're sick, we are sick. Trust in Yahweh. Yahweh says, trust in me, and I will make you well, and he'll make us well completely. So do everything you can to be well, because the time is coming. We have to have self-control. What are you going to do when Lucifer holds up that piece of chocolate cake and you want that cake? And she says, well, there's just a little lard in it. But think about it. If we're addicted to these things, to anything, how are we going to withstand those attacks? So we really need to get a hold of ourselves and get complete control over our mind and our bodies. Because Yahshua is coming, but first all that tribulation is coming, and we're going to be going through some hard times, and we need to be as strong and serious as we possibly can to help the ones that are coming that don't know that they can be healed yet. So let's work on it with all our might and all our heart and resist the things that you know makes you sick. And with that, I'll turn it over to the next speaker.
Shalom, please be seated. Today I'm going to speak to you about Iran. And if anyone doesn't know, Iran is Persia. And if I can go ahead and get my first slide. A few months ago we were checking a prophetic word, and it was the 929 PW. We were checking this prophetic word, and I was sitting across from a sister, and she was like, oh, what's that? And I'm like, well, that's the flag of Iran. And she's like, no, what is that? And she was pointing to those decorative lines, and I'm like, well, you know how it is in Persia. You know, they have that grand architecture with their Persian rugs. It's probably just some sort of decorative thing. And I left and I got to thinking about it. And I'm like, what is that? And I did look it up, and it was more than just a little bit of decoration, but we'll get to that in a minute. So the time period that we're in right now, we're almost a year. I mean, think about it. We're almost a year into the last 3.5 years allotted to man's governments. And we know that this is going to be the time cut short. So if we're already almost a year in it, I mean, things are going to start moving rapidly. And I hope that there's no more doubts and everyone believes that we really are in this time period. And the prophet Daniel longed to see the time period that we live in now. But he lived in a pretty interesting time period, too. In the Mark of the Beast, Volume 1, for your notes, on page 114, it reads, "Since the time of Daniel, there have only been 4 great kingdoms that have ruled the world: Babylon, Medo-Persia, Greeks, and Roman. No mere man, without the inspiration of Yahweh, could have given such singular, accurate accountants covering thousands of years of future history. In spite of repeated efforts of kings and rulers to establish world kingdoms, they've utterly failed, and they will continue to fail until the last 3.5 years of man's rule, which is right now. There were 2 world ruling kingdoms before Daniel's interpretation of Nebuchadnezzar's dream, and there have only been 4 since." And the dream that it's talking about in the book is that dream in Daniel 2 where Nebuchadnezzar had that dream about the statue, and he told the king that he was the golden head. And, you know, Yahweh, he doesn't set us up for failure, just like he didn't set Daniel up for failure. It's like, you know, everyone remembers King Nebuchadnezzar and the temper that he had, right? Could you imagine Daniel going up and telling him, "Oh, king, you're the feet." You know, with that king's temper, imagine him telling him he was the feet. But he's like, "Oh, king, you're the golden head." So, you know, Yahweh allowed him to be the golden head. You know, he's like, "Oh, really? I'm the golden head? Tell me more." You know, setting the stage for Daniel and, you know, making the job easier for him. And he was promoted to a position to where he was able to do Yahweh's work and help his friends out too. Okay, so Daniel was alive. He was alive during a time when there was a shift in world ruling empires. So we know that when he lived in Babylon, he lived at a time he met King Nebuchadnezzar, he met his son, and he also met Darius and Cyrus. So that was a shift from Babylon to Medo-Persia. If I can get my second slide, just to go over some, you know, the history in the Mark of the Beast, it shows the 7 world powers. And it was Egypt, Assyria, Babylon — that's when Daniel was alive, and he was alive when it shifted to Medo-Persia — and the Greek and the Roman. We know that the Roman is in 2 parts. There was the military Rome, and we're living in papal Rome. That's where we are right now. Okay, so we're at the 7th stage of that right now. Okay, and one thing that I found very interesting is on page 79 of Mark of the Beast, and I just kind of wanted to, if you want to go home and peek at this, if you can see that right here, under Babylon, it tells us when Babylon fell. And it was there all along, and I'm sure some of you've noticed it, but I've never noticed it. But it says right there in the book that Babylon fell to Persia on 10/13/539. Does that date sound familiar to anyone? 10/13? That's the exact same date the peace treaty went into effect in these last days, the exact day. And I'm like, I never noticed that before. I'm sure some of you did, but it was right there. Okay, so even though in the land of the Medo-Persians, even though the Greeks and the Romans came after, you can still find that there was a line of succession of Persian dynasties that remained from the time of Daniel to these last days. So think about it, because Daniel's the one who prophesied about Pastor. So when King Cyrus came and took Babylon, he had that first dynasty, and I'm not going to pronounce the name, I'll massacre the name, but you can go through history and find a successive line of dynasties up till these last days, where we had the Pahlavi dynasty, which was the last one. And if I can get my next slide, the third slide, the one after that, yes, this is the Pahlavi family. That's the last Shah of Iran. And the Shah is an emperor, and that's his family. And it was interesting because, I mean, that actual dynasty started with his father, but in 1971, him and his wife, they had this grand celebration, and they celebrated 2,500 years of the history of the Persian Empire. And that's how much time had taken place since that time when Cyrus came and Daniel was alive till these last days. And think about it, 1971, Pastor had already moved to Abilene, so he's in Abilene working on Mark of the Beast, and all these things are going on, right? And they called this the 2500th year of the foundation of the Imperial State of Iran. That's what they called it, where they had this five-day extravagant banquet, and they invited all these royal families from all over the world. It was just really, you know, if you Google it, you can see all the pictures. It was just extremely elaborate, right? And if I can get my next slide, the next slide shows you what the Iranian flag looked like at that time. And if you notice, it's like every empire that came along has elements of the empire before it. They all kind of just took each other's god worship, and it just kind of went into this big ball of just, you know, a god worshiping mass of just, because if you notice that creature on there, it kind of reminds me of those ones they had in Babylon with the wings on it. But if you notice the Babylon, those beasts with wings, you can always, it always goes back to Egypt, those winged creatures that are, you know, in all the god worship starts in Egypt. If you remember that list we looked at before, Egypt was that first ruling empire. But anyways, the Pahlavi dynasty was overthrown in 1979, and that's the Iran that we know today, and when the Islamic Revolution came. And because they were a secular country, but they became totally Islamic after that. And if I can get my last slide, so that takes us to the flag that we know of Iran today, which is, that's what it is today. And I found out those little lines that look like some sort of architectural, you know, it actually has something called, I'm not going to say, it's called the Takbir, and you can Google that and find out for yourself what it is. And that's T-A-K-B-I-R. And it's written 11 times on the top and 11 times on the bottom, that decorative, that's actually handwriting. And it means, it says the name of their god, and it means their god is great. And it's saying that 11 times on the top, 11 times on the bottom, which is 22 times. And that's actually like a war cry that you'll hear. Like if you notice, if you're watching the news and you see, like, you know, they're shooting off bombs with ISIS, you hear them yelling something. When you Google that and you see what it means, you'll know what I'm talking about. And that emblem in the middle is just, it's just another meaning for the name of their god. I mean, that whole flag is just symbolic of Islam and the Muslims. And so I wanted to read from the 10th book of Yisrael, part 2, chapter 17, verse 68, where Pastor says, "Remember, Malachi Martin told you before it ever took place. Before they invaded Iraq or Afghanistan, Malachi Martin said, the Queen of Heaven is going to wage war against the Muslim nations." And you can clearly see that it's a Muslim nation now. I mean, it was totally taken over. "And anyone who will not accept her democracy is going to suffer greatly. We closed our minds to that. The world heard it and forgot it. But it's taking place right now." And we can see, like, with all the hype that's going on with Iran right now, if you remember, General Wesley Clark, we've been going over him a lot in our Book of Yisrael class. He was the general that revealed the U.S.'s plans to take out 7 countries in 5 years, and Iran was always the last one on that list. So they were planning on targeting Iran for a very long time, and all the others have either been destabilized or subjugated, and Iran is what's left. And so, if you'll turn with me over in closing to Daniel chapter 2, I'm going to read verse 44 and 45, and that's on page 673. That's Daniel chapter 2, 44 and 45. And this is where Daniel is talking to the king about the dream. And he's saying, "And in the last days of these kings, Yahweh in heaven will appoint a kingdom of priests which will not be destroyed, nor will this kingdom be left to another people." And you know, put yourself here, because he's talking about us. Remember last week when Pastor said the only thing forever is Yahweh and the house of Yahweh? This is us right here, okay? He says it's not going to be left to another people. It will break into pieces, it will consume all kingdoms, and it will stand forever. "Just as you saw the stone that was cut out of the mountain without hands," and if you notice, the side note says that stone is the house of Yahweh, "and it broke in pieces of iron, bronze, and clay, the silver and the gold, so the great father has made known to the king what will come to pass here after the dream. The dream is certain, and its interpretation is sure." And so, you know, be of great courage, because we're, you know, there's no doubt as to what time period we're in. And just for your notes, if you would want to write down the seventh book of Yisro, part 1, chapter 18, verse 8 to 28. That was a few years ago when Pastor had the Kahan that does the sacred codes come up, and he talked about Elam and the sacred codes in Iran. And we can see now, like, looking back and reading that, it wasn't for that time period, because we were all waiting for that nuclear baby to go off, because it hasn't come yet. But read it now and compare it to what's going on with Iran right now, and be encouraged. And with that, if you'll all please stand, I'll turn it over to our next teacher.
Take your seats in the great house of Yahweh. My title today is Hold On to Your Talent and Make It More. Today our theme is to improve ourselves and qualify. That's what we've been talking about. And, you know, the overseer has told us this is it. It's the end. There will be no more delays, sisters. So, as some of our speakers have already said, we're in a very serious time period. And we have to really reflect on ourselves, because Yahweh allowed us the ability to be here, right? And he gave us talents. And we have to see if we are causing those to produce more. So let's look at that parable. It's in Matithiah chapter 25, verses 14 through 30, and I'm not going to read the whole parable to you, but I want you to look at verse 14. It says, "For the kingdom of Yahweh will be like a man going on a journey into a far country, who summoned his own servants and handed his possessions over to them." This is the kingdom of Yahweh will be like this, okay? So get that. "To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each according to his ability, and immediately he went on his journey." So the first servant took his talents, right? He had 5, and he made them 10. And the second servant had 2, and he took his 2 talents and he made them into 4, right? And the third servant had 1 talent. That was still very important, right? This was part of his ruler's possessions, okay? And he took it and he buried it in the ground. Okay? So, when the ruler came back, he said to the first servant and the second servant, "Well done, righteous and faithful servants. You've been faithful in a few things that I gave you. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your ruler." And he said the same thing to the second servant, didn't he? Because that servant also produced fruits. But when the last servant came in and told him what he did with the talent that he was given, "I buried it in the ground," he said, "You wicked and lazy servant." Now, look, notice those words, wicked and lazy, slothful. "You knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. So you ought to have lent my money to the exchangers, and at least at my coming, I could have received my own with interest." He wanted them to produce something, right? To produce more than he gave him to start with. So he said here, "Therefore, take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. From him, for everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away." So, have you ever thought about what these talents really are? Because in this story, in this account here, it's talking about money, right?
I mean, a talent is 75 pounds of silver if you look it up. But to us, I don't see any of y'all with like a whole bunch of money, you know, you're carrying around with you on a daily basis, right? It's not about money. It's about something else. So I had a look to our great teacher, Yeshua Hawkins, because he's got all the answers for us, right? And so if we look at the second book of Israel, chapter 43. This is a chapter to understand this parable, sisters. And verse 19 and 21, pastor is reading in Matthew 13, verse 12. And I want you to see if this sounds familiar to what we just read. And verse 19 says, verse 12, "For whoever has more will be given to him." We just read that, didn't we? Notice this is given to whoever has, whoever Yahweh chooses. He has chosen in advance those who are foreordained. He said, those he would call. He has foreordained so that an alarm clock could go off in their heads and they would start having the understanding it would take to bring them to his house. Okay, we saw that alarm clock earlier. And that alarm clock was what? It was our calling, sisters. Okay, Yahweh set it off. And he said they would not only come to his house, but they would start understanding the great secrets Yahweh reveals in his holy word. And then in verse 21, if you jump down to 21, he tells us what the first talent Yahweh gives us. In another parable of the talents, it explains that if someone does not develop the talent of understanding, which Yahweh gives to him, then even that understanding is going to be taken away. That's just one talent, right? But it's a very, very important talent. Yochanan 6:44 says, "No man or woman can come to me unless the Father who has sent me draws him, and I will establish him as a priest at the last days." So we can only get that understanding from our great Heavenly Father to get further rewards. So this is our first talent, understanding. But what do we do with it? How do we make this one talent more, sisters? Luke 22:32 says, "But I have prayed for you that your faith does not fail. And when you are converted, strengthen your brothers and sisters." That is what we need to do. We need to take the teachings we have been given and convert ourselves and learn what to teach so that we can teach what we've learned. That's what we do with the understanding Yahweh gives us. We don't keep it to ourselves and just, you know, stay home and I know the law and that's it. We're done. No, we have a lot more to do. And there's another song pastor wrote. It says in this song, it's not enough that we overcome, but that we teach others how we overcame. That's going to be a job for all eternity, right? Because we're going to be meeting new beings and we're going to be teaching first the 2 billion how we did it because they're going to have to do it. And then we're going to go to this universe and we're going to do the same thing over and over again until everyone has what Yahweh wants them to have, the ability to see righteousness and evil and choose righteousness. In the second book of Israel, verse 43, or chapter 43 again, verse 25 says, "Concentrate on what I'm saying and what the scriptures say, and you'll understand the different degrees that you must strive for and how you can improve and actually boost yourself in what position you get." So I looked up the meaning of the word improve, right? Because we're talking about improving ourselves. It means to make or become better, to develop or increase in mental capacity by education or experience, to achieve or produce something better. Okay, and that says a verb. As an intransitive verb, it means to advance or make progress in what is desirable. What is desirable, sisters? Is it not Yahweh's laws that should be desirable as more than fine gold to us? Some synonyms are to reform, which is us, right? We reform ourselves. To straighten out, to turn around, to change states. We're a house of change here in Yahweh's great house, right? We're changing who we are to be like our great Heavenly Father. To mend, to get well, to get over, to better, to heal. When we take our talent of understanding and we make it more, we will be healed. We will be what Yahweh wants us to be, sisters. In the second book of Israel, chapter 43, verse 31, it says, "Now, we just read that in that parable that Satan is an active member in pulling away the ones Yahweh gives understanding to. He gives some more and some less. He gives to all according to what they can handle and the zeal they put towards learning to love what he gives them, developing and increasing their abilities to handle higher jobs." We all are achieving higher jobs if we develop the abilities Yahweh has given to us, sisters. We can improve ourselves, and we must improve ourselves, because then we will be counted worthy to enter into the joy of our ruler, right? In the eighth book of Israel, part two, chapter one, verses 18 and 19, pastor is talking, he really wants us to get this point. And you might remember too, when you leave here today, you should take this lesson with you, and you should concentrate on it. What you learn here today, it's very important that you get what I'm here to bring you today and to concentrate on it this afternoon. Try to add to that message. Did you notice that? He didn't say, just take that message and keep it to yourself. Add to it. Learn from it. Go over it again and again and get in the classes and try to improve yourself for a position in Yahweh's kingdom, because it's only a few months away. It is really, sisters. You might not believe that. I hope and pray we all believe that. Remember this lesson. Know you're a part of it. Sisters, Yahweh has given us a talent, and we can make it so much more if we stay here and stay in our place and do everything our great teacher has taught us to do so that we can teach it to others when that time comes. I pray Yahweh bless you with great understanding. I ask you to please stand for our next speaker.
Shabbat Shalom again, great saints of Yahweh. Please sit. I'd like to entitle my portion this afternoon, Part 2 of Psalm 19:7. Part 2 of Psalm 19:7, the laws of Yahweh are perfect, converting the whole person. The testimony of Yahweh sure, making the simple ones wise. And I want to relate to that the second attribute of Yahweh. Now, I know you've been doing attributes. What is the second attribute of Yahweh? Merciful and compassionate. So I want to put together the law, the Psalm 19:7, and the second attribute of Yahweh, merciful and compassionate. Why? I have been thinking of the disorders we were speaking about in my part one. And the disorders of the body, or if you call them dysfunctions, phobias, disorder, eating disorders, walking, talking, all disorders that mankind is plagued with at this time. Disorders of the mind, and we said they call those things psychological, or if it's the mind and the body, the psychophysiological disorders, all those kinds of disorders. But I know that whatever the form of disorder, that the laws of Yahweh, which are perfect, can heal it. How? We are going to heal the universe with the laws of Yahweh. There's nothing else we're going to use. We are not saying that all the laws of Yahweh are doable at this time in our time and season now. We are not saying all the laws are doable. We are saying that we can uphold, and we are upholding, all of Yahweh's laws. So when they do become doable, we'll be able to say, yes, Father, we agree, we agree, we agree. Do you understand, Great House? Yes. Now, thinking of all the disorders, dysfunctions of the mind and the body, I know the Great One sent had given us the scriptural word that described all the disorders. And he even gave a name of a person in describing the disorders. He used the phrase in Isaiah 42:3. Isaiah 42:3, a bruised reed he will not break. A bruised reed he will not break. He said bruised reed right there means all the different disorders, dysfunctions of the mind and the body that the world is plagued with. Bruised reed. And you can hear it. Bruised reed, it speaks for itself. Bruised reed. Do you hear it? It speaks for itself. But I had to deal with children with Down syndrome when I did a course in learning disabilities. And these were one of the children we had to work with. What is Down syndrome? Can we have a quick clip, please, just to help us? Down syndrome. Can we have a clip, please? Wanted us to gather from this, it's a dysfunction in the cells, somewhere in the gene, when the baby was in the mother's womb. For some reason, scientists cannot tell us, but some dysfunction occurred in the division of the cell. Just a little dysfunction can cause a whole slew of dysfunctions in the body. Just a tiny dysfunction of the cell in the dividing when the cells are developing in the mother's womb to create the baby. But this is not the only one. The reason why I use this one is because I dealt with some children in the past. And Yahweh's laws can converge, and I'm going to show you why. They pull from you compassion. They pull from you kindness. Mercy and compassion to deal with. It's going to come from you to heal them. Now, these are Yahweh's attributes, merciful and compassionate. And I remember just once what I learned about some of them. They are exceptionally affectionate. So when you say to one, come sit by me, she's not going to give you anybody space. She's going to come to sit by you. So these are bruised reeds that the house of Yahweh, we are learning how to heal. Do you agree, Great House? And this is just a small, tiny group of all the other bruised reeds that society is plagued with. Now, the laws of Yahweh are perfect, converting the whole person. And I'm saying how? How? It is with the laws of Yahweh we are going to heal. What does the word convert mean? Three main things the word convert means are transformation. It makes a transformation of the person. So we can say the laws of Yahweh are perfect, transforming the whole person. It means to turn about. Converting means to turn about. Meaning, if we were going in the right direction all the time and we turn to start doing something dumb, then the power in Yahweh's laws have the power to turn us about. It also means to reform. The laws of Yahweh are perfect and can reform us, meaning to remake us. So the laws of Yahweh can transform us, they can turn us about, and they can reform us. That's what convert means. Now, the laws of Yahweh have that power to do that. Hence, converting the whole person. I'm going to use two of my most liked laws. Besides loving Yahweh, I have two laws I really like because whenever I hear them, they make me smile. Can we show the first one, please? This is so nice. Do you know what law I'm talking about? Okay, could we see the law, please? Positive law 203. When I see the law, this law, it makes me smile because I can see Yahweh in that law. It says, help a neighbor who has a fallen animal. And it's right there. Hear the words, you shall not see your neighbor's donkey or his ox fallen on the road and ignore it. Yahweh's law is telling us that. Be sure to help it get to its feet. Isn't that a lovely law? Oh, that's a beautiful law. You pass there and you've seen your neighbor's donkey and the Lord is too heavy. Can we see the donkey again? The same donkey. And his load is so heavy and you're going by. But listen to that. That's your neighbor. So you know what you're going to do? It's your neighbor's donkey, this one here. So you're glad to see it. You're going to take your phone and call the neighbor really fast and say, the donkey, it's over there. And your neighbor will say, oh, no problem. Just call the office. Let them take it for me. I'll be right there to pick it up. And you feel nice. You apply Yahweh's laws, peace, joy, love, all the attributes of Yahweh. You apply it because it's your neighbor. You like your neighbor. Do you understand? Yes, it was easy for you to call and say, your donkey. And then you apply self-control, fruits of the spirit. Easy to do it because it's your neighbor, somebody you like. Do you see it? And that pumps through all the parts of your body. You like it. You keep Yahweh's laws and you like it. It feels good. It benefits you. You use character. You use self-control. You use mercy, compassionate, all those nice things. But let's look at the other law. That's my next nice law. I really like it. Which law is this? Can we see the law, please? This donkey has more load on its back. And this is the which one? The help a stranger who has a fallen animal. And let me tell you something. There's a reason why Yahweh says it the way he says it. If you see the donkey of someone who hates you lying under its burden, the person hates you, and you refrain from helping it, you shall surely help him with it. So that's the person you hate. The person killed your animals. The person put all kinds of bad things in your garden. That person don't like you. And his donkey is there under a heavy load? No, you're not going to call. But Yahweh's law that are perfect and can convert is telling you, go and call the enemy. And let them know the donkey's over there with a heavy load. So you know what you're going to do? You're going to have to force yourself and reverse your car and call, and you have to count, and you have to apply forgiveness, you have to apply mercy, you have to apply long-suffering. Do you understand? And you have to apply all the fruits of the Spirit, forcing yourself to do it. It's going to pump through all the parts of your body and express itself and heal you. Where is bitterness stored in the kidney? When you apply forgiveness, long-suffering, the fruits of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, righteousness. long-suffering, patience, thank you, sister. Forgiveness, merciful and compassionate, and all of his attributes is going to pump through all the parts of the body and heal you. And in the process, it's going to heal your neighbor too. Do you see, Great House? It is with Yahweh's laws that we are going to convert the whole world and heal the universe. Nothing else. So when we start applying those laws, they will heal the whole person and everyone as well. And just to leave, my time is up. That's just two little laws. Think of all the other laws that are beneficial to mankind. And if your neighbor had 8 donkeys, all that wonderful thing processing and pumping through all your body, healing. Do you see it, Great House? I believe that. Do you see it, Great House? Praise Yahweh. And with this, we turn over to the great priests of the house of Yahweh. Praise Yahweh.